Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Just a sample of the reactions to the decision of the Atlanta Falcons to give us the surprise of the night, night one of the draft, now 4 days in our rearview mirror, but the biggest image lingering will be Michael Penix Jr. and Kirk Cousins joining forces in Atlanta. Chris, I thought of you when it happened. I've been thinking about you since then. It's kind of good we haven't communicated much about it because I'm sure you and I both have thoughts, and this is our opportunity for the first time since it happened to really just kind of download, unload, reload, any other form of load you can say, and good morning.
Yeah, good morning. What's up, man? How are you? Hope you had a good weekend. My weekend was crazy. I'm tired today. I didn't sleep good last night, so I am tired.
You look tired.
I am tired. I don't know what it was. Woke up in the middle of the night. Thank God I did, because I realized my phone was dead and I wouldn't have had an alarm that woke me up this morning. So that was good. All right. Busy weekend. Nonetheless, was fun. But like what? I mean, that was the start of my crazy weekend, right? I mean, the weekend, the draft, Thursday night, it was going chalk, right? It was going so chalk to that point. And it was moving along so fast that the NFL was like, whoa, 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 we got 4 hours to fill here. Oh, hey, how dare all you teams know what you're supposed to do so quickly here. But the 8 pick, Atlanta, Michael Penix, was the first like, whoa, get off your seat, look at everybody in the room. Like, I can't believe they did that moment. Right. And what's crazy is I feel like Michael Penix, he gets drafted by any other team. Everyone's ecstatic. He goes to the one team where they're like, we don't need you. Just crazy moment. Crazy.
Gets back to the whole thing about the draft and that the players don't have the same freedom that they have in college. And they have even more freedom now in college. And I would suspect if Michael Penix had a list of where he'd like to go, if he got to choose, the Falcons wouldn't have been anywhere near the top of his personal wish list of destinations. I forgot you were talking about crazy weekend. We got plenty of time to talk about the draft.
Crazy week. Crazy weekend.
Any trees climbed, any barns burned down, any issues with all the people that flocked over to Chateau Sims for their prom photographs and whatever else went on
there. Right, right. Well, we had, Charlotte got her driver's license, so she did get that, right? So we had the draft party in the barn Thursday night with a few people there from work. We had fun, right? Then,
thanks for the invitation.
No problem. No problem there, buddy. And then Saturday, doubleheader baseball into hosting the prom pictures at the house, which was, Yeah, quite the event. It was quite the event, and I mean, I got a big yard and a pretty big driveway. That driveway was packed. I'm going to say we had over 50 people there, right, when you got down to all the prom kids and then the parents taking pictures and all that. So that was great. But oddly enough, you brought up my Christmas tree and all that. For these people out there that don't know, I had this gigantic Christmas tree in my barn this year, and I came home on New Year's night and it was on its side and only half the lights were on. And I was so proud of that tree. It was beautiful. And of course, its life got altered quicker than I would have liked it. So we're sitting there in the barn, and there's probably, 40 people in the barn. And I'm sitting there, and it just randomly came to my head as my daughter is talking to a few friends. I go, hey, I saw one boy. I go, hey, you didn't jump off my barn and jump onto my tree. And he looked at me and he went, I'm sorry. It was me. Out of all the people I could have said it to, right?
Wow.
And he was great. And, I don't think he was all there at that moment on New Year's Eve night as a high schooler. So I gave him a pat on the back and told him I still liked him.
So you have closure now.
I have closure, right.
Unexpectedly.
Right.
Mended fences, found out who it was that wrecked your tree. Now, you said the tree's life ended sooner than expected. Did it have the bulb on it? Because the life was over anyway if the bulb
you're right. I know. Well, the life as it's standing in my barn and me enjoying it for another week or so. That's what I meant by the life of it. You're right. But we've thought about the bulb thing. We have, because, of course, Captain Planet doesn't like to waste trees. I don't want to do that. And we're kind of trying to still figure that out. We might do that here soon.
We've got a row of trees on the path down to the barn that were in the barn with the bulb on them.
Wow.
We don't do the real tree down there anymore. We just have a fake one that really is a lot easier, and you don't have to worry about planting the tree in the cold, hard ground after Christmas ends. But, yeah, it's just kind of a weird concept when you think about it. We all gather around with very warm, loving, nostalgic feelings. This thing that is slowly dying. It's already been given the death sentence. It's been through the guillotine, and we're just watching the corpse, just hoping it doesn't completely die and wither and, until we're done with it and ready to throw it out on the curb.
Right.
So anyway, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Off we go. I'm glad you got your closure, though. That's
thank
good.
You.
Unexpectedly.
Yeah, prom was smooth. Everything was good.
You give me flashbacks because, we've got the pipeline between my son and nephews, and we would do the homecoming and prom. And I've told you that before. Like, I'll walk outside and I'm like, who are these people? And Jill's like, I don't know who they are. And it's just like, this is the place to come take your homecoming and prom photos. And you know how I am. I want as few people as possible to, know where this is and know how to get here. And so that always makes me go right back inside.
Right.
Walk out, look around, who the hell are these people? Right back inside. Okay. Well, it was an interesting Thursday night.
It was.
And you're right. It was going exactly as expected. I was talking to my wife and my son about this on Saturday night. It's like, if I had any desire to gamble, and I still don't know what the NBC policy is, because we got people who work for us who openly talk about all the bets they make.
Right.
And it's like, I saw that policy at one point. It's like, I don't think we should be making any bets based on this policy. Maybe there's some dispensation I don't know about, but I got no interest in doing it. I got no desire to do it. But man, it would be easy to make a little money because we know, and most people know by the time you get to Thursday, if you're really locked in and paying attention to it, we were able to rattle off the first four picks. The only point it got interesting was pick five. We didn't know what the Chargers were going to do. And it wasn't a surprise when they did what they did. And then the Giants did what, they should have done. And then the Titans did what they should have done. And then, boom, the Falcons throw everyone involved a curveball. Even though, we did mention it on Thursday. We didn't spend a whole lot of time on it, but I went back and found it in the podcast. We talked about, I said that Michael Penix could be the oh shit moment of round one. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And I mentioned the Falcons, and I said it would be stunning because of the presence of Kirk Cousins. We didn't really delve into it, but I mentioned 8 as the ceiling for Penix, but I wouldn't have expected it. I don't think anybody expected it. But they had been linked to him, and there had been a report. And see, you can't trust these reports that come out that they were going to host him in Atlanta. My understanding is they never did. They went to see him throw on air in a private workout.
Right. That's what they
That's
did.
It. But still, that apparently was enough to create this grand plan that we're going to take a guy who turns 24 next week. We're going to park him on the bench indefinitely. 6 weeks after we gave $100 million fully guaranteed to Kirk Cousins, and it's going to be perfectly fine. And it's going to work out without a hitch, without a glitch, without a problem. Either it's genius or it is completely and totally nonsensical. And I've yet to hear anyone say anything to explain it in the aftermath of the selection to make me think that the Falcons are secret geniuses.
No, I can't. I'm definitely not going to take the genius side on that one, right? I don't think it's all bad, right? I mean, I will say that. It's a quarterback that they liked a whole lot, definitely. Yeah, right? And I'm not mad at
Cousins.
That. Right?
Don't sign Gardner Minshew and then draft him.
Exactly right. I mean, why did we not delve into it and pick number 8 on Thursday? Because we thought it was bad shit crazy. And we were like, what? Well, there's no point in wasting time on that. That's why. Nobody delved into it, right? I mean, nobody did. I mean, to your point, first off, you know, here's the big thing. I think the one we know, the NFL assets are at a premium, right? We're at the ultimate assets NFL like a part of the history of the game more now than ever, right? With just the way the salary cap is, free agency, guys and teams players wanting to change teams all the time, right? I want a new contract. I want this. I want to trade here. Right, the draft itself, there's so many things going on. Assets are at a premium, right? The quarterback assets are at a premium. So they first round picks are at a premium. They've wasted in this offseason, a lot of assets on one position. That doesn't make sense in the world of you got to spread it out across your roster and build a football team. And that's where the first thing you go, wait, what? That doesn't make sense. The second thing that doesn't make sense, Mike, to what we're talking about is, like, we knew the Atlanta Falcons needed a new quarterback in when? November, to be fair, right? Early November, we're like, they're going to be in the quarterback hunt last year, right? All right. Also around that same time, we knew Michael Penix was going to be on the board at number 8. Like, really, right around then. Nobody was going, Michael Penix is going top 5 pick. Certainly when the NFL season ended and college football ended, nobody was going, oh, Michael Penix is top 5 and he fell out of that conversation. It was, he's a second rounder, he's older, he's got injury issues, where is he going to be? Him being this far up in the process to begin with was news to everybody just like 2 weeks ago, right? I mean, you, hey, my man, you were texting me. I mean, I'm hearing Penix is going to go in the first half of the first round, no doubt about it, right? I was hearing the same thing, okay? Okay, but so, we still, that was surprising. We knew he was going to be there at 8. They knew they needed a quarterback. You should have done due diligence work already before you even get to the free agency conversation with Kirk Cousins to already have an inkling of, wait, we love this guy. We're going to do this. We're at 8. Nobody thinks he's going that early. We're going to be fine. He's going to fall right to us. Let's not give Kirk Cousins $180 million. I think that's the first thing you look at to just go, why, how did this happen? And it doesn't make sense.
It does not make sense. And as we search for any flash, any indication, any hint of genius on the part of the Atlanta Falcons, here are some of the things that General Manager Terry Fontenot and Head Coach Raheem Morris had to say over the weekend in repeated press conferences where inevitably the Penix question came up. Have a listen.
It's nothing to do with the injury. I think if we were fortunate enough, we talked about it, to have Kurt for his 12-year career with us, we still be in that position thinking about potentially going to get our quarterback or going to get the quarterback for the future. And that's the nature of the beast, right? We were lucky enough to watch Matt Ryan play 14 years, you know, I believe 13 of them with the Atlanta Falcons. And at some point, you got to find a way to have that succession plan in place. And just what happened, it poses itself tonight.
If you believe in a quarterback, you have to take him. And if he sits for 4 or 5 years, that's a great problem to have because we're doing so well at that position. So it's just as simple as if you see a guy that you believe in at that position, you have to take him.
If you'd have told me
in January that when we're sitting there and the quarterback, you weren't wondering who's going to be our quarterback next year, right? If you'd have told me at that time that we're going to have Kirk Cousins for right now and Michael Penix for the future, I would have told you it was a pipe dream. I would have told you that if you'd have told me that, I would have said, sign me up for that. Like, that's a – this is exciting. We're very excited. It's the most important position in pro sports. It's the most important position in pro sports. And to feel this good about it right now, that we couldn't be more excited.
Well, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that at the time they would have been told they'd have both Michael Penix and Kirk Cousins. Their options were Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heinicke. So, yeah, it sounds pretty good. It's not the question of amassing two great pieces in their estimation. It's the presence of those two pieces in the same locker room,
exactly,
on the same sideline,
that's
on the same team,
right,
and all the questions that it raises. Because I guarantee you this. If you had told Kirk Cousins back when you were enticing him to come to Atlanta that you're going to take Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th overall pick, Kirk Cousins would have stayed in Minnesota.
100%. 100. Right? I mean, you're spot on, Mike. I mean, I think that's the next part of this, you know, conversation is the unwanted, here we go, distraction in the first year of Raheem Morris. One, we talked about the assets and all of that, and right, the assets are so, you know, important to the franchise. Well, one of the biggest assets, a top 10 pick, you're telling me he's not going to be able to play for maybe 4 years? That's not the way football works. That's not a smart pick then either. Whoa, top 10 pick, great asset. It might not work for a few years. That's a waste of an asset. That is. Let alone, you're in danger of wasting the asset of $180 million of the starting quarterback you're there. I mean, this is what I said to a few people on radio. Yeah, you got older white guy quarterback, right? I mean, he threw the ball on a tennis court. We've already made fun of him a little bit for his athletic ability and the lack thereof, right? And I'm having fun here, right? His arm is not famous for being a wow arm. It's a good arm, but it's not a wow arm. Now you're going to have a guy that's out there and, I mean, it's spring chicken, and we just saw him run, Michael Penix Jr. run 4.5 at his pro day, and his pecs and his shoulders look good. And anybody you talk to that watched him throw a football goes, it's as good as anybody I've ever seen ever, right? I mean, he gets thrown around with names. People, like, when I watch him throw, it's like Josh Allen. It's Justin Herbert when people see him in person. That's how it pops off his hand, right? So that you're telling me that's a good thing as Kirk Cousins is kind of feeling his way? Like we always talk about, the second week of training camp, everybody's going to be like, Michael Penix is freaking throwing lasers everywhere. I mean, yeah, Kirk looks good. He's smart. He's doing the right thing. But, I mean, Michael Penix, wow, wow, wow. And then you're going to tell me if they don't start off with a good record, if they start out 2-3, right, and the offense just looks okay, like, duh, what did we think's going to happen there? I mean, the older, mature quarterback, the guy that maybe was the most ready to play of any of the guys that came out in the draft, we're going to, no, you're not ready yet. All these things, as you say them out loud, they don't make sense, and that's where I think the whole NFL world thinks the pick's crazy.
And I think that they would have been fine in the regular season, playing at 1 o'clock Eastern. I think Cousins will do well with that team, with all the weapons they have. The question is, what happens when you get to primetime and the playoffs, because that's the narrative. It's baked in since 2014, 2015, when he first became a regular player in Washington with one playoff win for his entire career and not that many playoff appearances. But now you undermine his ability to do even that.
I mean, yeah, you do. You do.
Think about, and I think this helps explain the surprise that was articulated by his agent. And I think the way it happened on Thursday night, initially the agent is texting a bunch of people off the record and finally just decides, screw it, I'm going to come out and say it. That is how dismayed I think Kirk was, that he felt like collectively with the agent, we need to say what we're going to say here. Because instead of taking Michael Penix Jr., what they could have done, what they should have done, and what Kirk Cousins surely and fairly presumed they would have done was take a player that's going to help them win now.
Exactly.
That's going to help Kirk.
That was part of this.
Kirk saying, I'm going to do everything in my power to deliver a championship to Atlanta. Oh, but the team isn't. I'm only here for 3 or 4 years, and they draft a guy who, if everything goes well, isn't going to play. How does that help me win a championship?
Exactly.
How does that help this organization finally exercise the demons of 28-3? It doesn't. It doesn't. This is worrying about the future while you still haven't even begun to experience the present. How do you call it a succession plan when the guy has never worn your helmet before? This isn't Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. This isn't Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. This is ridiculous. This is mid-level quarterback who shows flashes of top 5 to top 10 under the right circumstances, who maybe has a final act in him that will allow him to achieve something he's never achieved before, and you undermine him before he even goes under center the first time. It makes zero sense, and it strips the humanity completely out of the equation, because at the end of the day, you got a guy who is now pissed at you. And I can't wait to hear what he says. I can't wait to watch, study, listen to Kirk Cousins the first time he has to address what's happened and how he reconciles it with the promises that were made to him, directly and indirectly, explicitly and subtly, when they told him, you're our guy and we're going to win. We're all in to win. Oh, but don't worry about the 8th overall pick. We could have gotten Dallas Turner. We could have gotten Byron Murphy. We could have gotten somebody to help you win now. But we're going to bank a guy. And don't pay no attention to him. Don't worry about him. Don't look over your shoulder at him until you have to, until it's too late, until you're benched or traded or cut because the Michael Penix Jr. era arrived prematurely.
Yeah, it's odd. It's odd. Well, we talk about this a lot, right? I mean, great teams want their quarterback to be the general, the guy that's the commander of the ship. He leads that. Now they got two.
Sergeant General.
Yeah, Sergeant General. Exactly right, right. So, you know, now they got two of them in there, right? They got two guys that are kind of alpha male-ish, right? And then one, okay, is, yes, a top 10 pick who been in the Heisman conversation and everybody's been watching him on Saturdays in college football and he's been tearing it up, right? And what, you don't think like the young weapons of Atlanta won't want to be like, whoa, the future, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, or wait, you know, older, been there quarterback that right now only going to look like he's going to be here for 2 years and he's out of here. Right, so already I got to start going. Well, I like the other. I got to make sure I'm friends with the other guy because the guy we talked about trading jerseys and everything. He's not going to be here that long. I mean, it's odd. It's odd. Let alone to your point there, a top 10 pick is one of the biggest assets you can acquire in all of football. You know, if there was a worth, a dollar amount, whatever, it's like having the $1,000 bill. I mean, it's a special entity. It's a special thing. It's the type of thing that, like you're saying, hey, our team's pretty good. We need this one piece. Oh, wait, we got Byron Murphy now in the middle of our defense? Oh, shit, our defense is legit now. Like, no, now it's not that. And they try to make up with that with defensive picks, but yeah, I mean, to me, they've caused a problem here, and it's shocking. And I'll tell you this, Mike, from all due accounts, from what I've heard around the league, I think Raheem Morris welcomed this from what I know. I first, when this happened, I was like, man, Raheem Morris must be like, what? I need a defensive player. I need that. But I've heard from people around the league that he signed off on this. Like they saw him work out or something in the process and they were blown away and they said, we're going to do it. And then they approached ownership about the conversation is what I've been led to believe so far in this process.
Which makes me wonder how much Raheem Morris really believes in Kirk Cousins. I think that's what I keep coming back to. This is an implicit, if not flat out, indictment of what they truly think they have in Kirk Cousins, and it invites fair questions as to why in the hell they made a 9-figure investment in a guy
right.
who now has a shelf life somewhere along the lines of a loaf of bread, right? The mold is going to show up potentially quickly, especially when you have a brand new loaf right out of the oven top 10 pick that people may decide to clamor for. Let's hear a little bit from Raheem Morris on the Kirk Cousins reaction to this stunning decision to make Penix the 8th overall pick in the draft.
And Kirk does not have to look over his shoulder every time he throws a bad pass. Like, that is not the case. Like, yep. So I know I'm going to have to tell you guys once or twice that that is not the case. The only thing that you can show is just you keep showing people that you mean it and what you're saying and everything's going to happen, right? Because there's always going to be some form of, you know, looking over your shoulder. And I'm going to try to eliminate that as much as I can.
Yeah, I mean, good luck with that. The looking over the shoulder is implied because of the fact that he's there. And it's one thing if the coach keeps saying, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine. It's everybody else that they're completely ignoring in this. It's the locker room. It's the media. It's the fan base. Kirk is throwing bad passes, but hey, don't look over your shoulder. But they're booing and they're chanting, we want Penix. And the locker room is giving you the side eye
right.
because they know that Penix is better than
right.
you. That's the problem.
That's
it doesn't matter
exactly.
if the coach says all that
right.
stuff.
Exactly.
It's everybody else.
Right.
Have you ever seen a team have to work so hard to justify a top 10 pick? I'm sure it's happened and I'm not remembering it, but that's not what you want it to be. It should be celebration. It shouldn't be explanation. It shouldn't be we have to keep coming back to this every press conference to address these questions. To the point where they're going to get pissed off sooner than later about having to answer these questions. But it's just, it really is ludicrous. And they're going to try to create an environment where Cousins can go out and give it his best shot and they'll unleash Penix whenever. But you know, something I didn't mention from earlier, this idea that Penix would sit for 4 or 5 years is one of, and I
yeah,
like to.
This is the next thing to go to. Go ahead.
It's
yeah.
It's one of the dumbest things
right.
I've ever heard in 23
the
years.
The negative was he's too old about being drafted. Now we're going to sit him for 4 years, right? It's all we heard about, right?
Well, how do you sit him for 5 years? How do you sit him? You pick up his 5th year option and he doesn't play once? Think about that.
I know.
We got a 4-year contract.
Yeah.
We got a 5th year option. We're going to pick up the 5th year option on a guy who's never played. And then after his 5th year, when he's eligible for free agency, and we have to franchise tag him to keep him off the market, how are we going to sign him to a long-term deal when he's never played? How do you even begin to put a value on a guy who has been sitting for 5 years and has never played? So that is just, and I don't think Terry Fontenot meant it. This is just get the heat out of the hot kitchen, move on to the next topic. I don't want to talk about this anymore. Yeah, if he sits 4 or 5 years, great. I mean, the reality is, he's sitting, and I'd love to figure out a good over-under for this as to how long Michael Penix is sitting. I think it's as little as 1 year.
Definitely.
I think more realistically it's 2, and at the high end it's 3.
Yeah, but I kind of look at it as 1 year. I mean, Michael Penix is smart. He's going to be ready to go. He's been playing in a pro-style offense, right? He's advanced. He's mature. He takes this seriously. Right. This is one of the positives about Michael Penix was that it's not going to be as much of an adjustment period. The negative was he's a little old, right? And there's injuries. The positives are he's a little old, he's mature, and he's played a ton of football. So that makes no sense to your point. And, you know, you get back to the whole conversation of like, yeah, it takes away, you know, a leg out from Kirk Cousins and his ability to lead the football team. He is going to look over his shoulder. I don't care what you say. If he starts off a game 2 for 12 in week 5 and everybody's booing and, you know, maybe at that point they're 1-3 and everything's going crazy. Like, I mean, great. Coaches say stuff like Raheem Morris said all the time. Like, oh, no, he doesn't have to look over his shoulder. Until the shit hits the fan, and then he's got to look over his shoulder because all of a sudden everybody's booing, and I feel it, and the media's been on me all week, and the players, like you said, are looking at me. And, oh, no, actually it is time to look over your shoulder. They're going to give him a warning and be like, hey, look over your shoulder now. You're not playing very good. But the other part of this is that, how did this happen? Like, did they get blown away by the personal workout, which is okay, but what I would want to say to that is like that has to happen already. You should have already known this. You knew you needed a quarterback, right? I've had people push back against me and go, "Well, maybe they saw him at the workout and they didn't realize you were the pick number 8. You needed a quarterback. You should have known that already. It's too late, right? Now, the assets, you get into that. Let's flip it around. Damn, I would have loved Michael Penix, and for $180 million, they could have got Christian Wilkins and Bryce Huff and maybe Danielle Hunter, too, on the football team. I like that team better than Michael Penix, Kirk Cousins, and I don't know who the hell's on the defense. So that's where it's an stupid allotment of assets. And we know the good teams balance the assets the best. And this doesn't seem right. And that's where we're all like, what the hell's going on?
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You mentioned the whole, what if Kirk is 2-for-12 and they're 1-3? You know, he's never had this. He's never had a situation like
not like this.
He was the guy who was the, oh, by the way, fourth round pick in 2012 when Snyder forced RG3 on the Shanahans, and the Shanahans like Cousins. And after a couple of years, they realized RG3 wasn't it. Cousins played by RG3's fourth year.
Yeah.
They put him in bubble wrap because his fifth-year option back at the time, it's only guaranteed for injury. He didn't play at all that year. Cousins plays. Then they got a franchise tag, and they never made him a fair offer. But he never had, in Washington or in Minnesota, a truly competitive threat.
Yeah, young stud behind him, right.
And now he does. On top of everything else he's dealing with, he's got the torn Achilles. He's got a new team. He's got the expectations built in with getting $100 million fully guaranteed. And now he's got a guy who may come in and capture the hearts and minds of
the
fan base.
That's it. Yeah.
That's where, and you know, somebody told me over the weekend, and again, I like Terry Fontenot, I like Raheem Morris.
Me too.
And I have given the Browns a hard time in the past because they've got, what's his name? The chief strategy officer.
Guy Podesta. That
was in baseball. Podesta. Podesta.
Paul DePodesta. Right, thank you.
Well, you know, somebody told me over the weekend, the problem is they have no strategists in the building in Atlanta. And I don't think they thought this through. Because I think that's one of the things you have to do. You have to have someone who can say, here's a flow chart. Here's all the permutations. Here's all the things we're going to have to deal with. Here's how we need to consider our various choices. And you're right. They knew they needed a quarterback. You better do all your work on all the quarterbacks before it's time to fly to Washington and see him throw passes to a couple of guys that he used to play with at Washington who show up to catch him that day.
That's right.
You better have scouts at his games.
You should have GM already been to one of his games. You've been as a GM and you need a quarterback. You should have already been at his game and seen him throw and already come back and been like, everybody, it's December. I just want to tell you, I saw Michael Penix. It's insane. He's throwing the ball everywhere. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Don't tell anybody. Shut up. We're going to pick him at 8. Like, shut up. We're going to lay in the weeds. They should have known. Yeah, sorry, Mike. I didn't mean to cut you off. You know, I'm just
no, it's fine. Yeah. And look, I know once you decide you want the guy, there is a very high degree of importance attached to being secret. And that gets back to just managing relationships. on one hand, it is one big machine, and parts go out, parts go in. Parts go out, parts go in. But still, some of those parts, you better be a little more concerned with the relationship than others. And when you have just lured Kirk Cousins to make a major professional life change under the guise of we're going to win, we're going to win, we're going to win. And look, who knows what they said to him about what they plan to do with the eighth overall pick, but I know what they didn't say. They didn't tell him they were going to take a quarterback. Now, maybe they thought he'd go to a press conference and blurt it out like he blurted out the tampering evidence. But regardless, you create an impression for the guy to get him to come there. And this pick completely undercuts it. Now they have cleanup on aisle five in Atlanta to get Cousins' mind right. On top of all the other shit they got to deal with to try to take their team where it was to the top of the division as far as it can go in the playoffs, they got to get Kirk Cousins' mind right. And, Chris, you got to get Michael Penix's mind right because he's got to be thinking the more he hears this. Pete made the point that Saturday's press conference after the entire draft ended, 32 minutes, half of it was about Penix.
Yeah.
Half of it was about the guy that was picked 2 days ago.
Right.
Like, at some point, Penix is going to be like, why am I here? And his attitude's going to be, I want to play. I want to play. If I'd have been drafted by this team, I'd be playing. If I'd been drafted by that team, I'd be playing. All these other guys are going to play, and he's going to be Jordan Love. Think about that. We found out how good Jordan was this year, finally, after he had to sit and watch Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, and Justin Herbert and Jalen Hurts the last 3 years. Before that, but at least it was Aaron Rodgers that was playing.
That's right. That's right.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
This is mid-level guy, flashes of top 10, flashes of top 5, was on a trajectory in Minnesota that created a conversion in me. Let's see how this book ends. Let's keep him in Minnesota and see how it goes. Oh, well, now he's going to take his talents to Atlanta. Oh, and they brought his reply. I mean, I bet they were laughing their asses off in Minnesota.
Oh, I bet you they were. I bet you. Yeah, I bet you. They were like, oh, he wanted to hold us over, you know, the barrel for every last dollar. How'd that work for him? He got every last dollar, and now he's got a, you know, every last dollar pain in his butt every day at practice dealing with a guy that, like you said, Jordan Love. What Michael Penix is better than Jordan Love coming out, and Michael Penix is ready. Michael Penix is a gifted, put him in the shotgun, and I just don't have any doubt he's going to tear people up. He's a natural that way. And then here's the other thing that I think on top of this, Mike, this is where I'd worry about the Achilles or anything like that, is, like, with that type of injury, I guarantee Kirk Cousins, when we get to training camp, is going to have to manage that. He's going to have days where they're going to go take the practice off. Don't do both practices today, or maybe you take the day off completely. And what's that going to lead to, Mike? It's going to lead to Michael Penix Jr. now taking reps with the number ones. And, it's week two of training camp, and it's the second time he's gotten to work with the ones. And, look at that bomb to Darnell Mooney Jr. Look at that bomb right there to Drake London. Whoa, what a throw to Bijan Robinson. Damn, the future looks good. The future looks good. The future looks good. Damn, how long are we going to wait to make the future look good? Do we want to make it look good now? I mean, that's what they're going to do. They're going to cause everybody in the locker room like we always talk about. They're all going to be going in the locker room going, damn, we gave $180 million to Kirk Cousins, and Michael Penix is tearing it up every day, and it's going to be a problem. And that's why I thought, you know, part of this whole thing, everybody's in shock. Everybody is in shock about this pick.
It would be a riveting new twist to football if the ball actually exploded.
Need sound effects.
That would definitely goose the ratings. It might not be good for the inventory of players, but it definitely would yeah, cause right. the ratings to spike in some markets. You mentioned the Achilles.
Yeah.
And back when Kirk Cousins had his introductory press conference and he did the whole verbal diarrhea with all the different tampering, and there is one take on the tampering thing that I'll mention in a second as it relates to this. But he talked about passing a physical, and he said he passed a physical for everything but the Achilles. And it makes me think about the Jimmy Garoppolo angle from last year. And yeah, with Garoppolo, they had to stop everything and redo the contract and move money around because they made no commitment to him whatsoever until he was able to pass a physical after they realized his foot should have had surgery when he injured it in December of 2022. I really want to get my eyes on the Kirk Cousins contract, because he said something about physical and Achilles, and I doubt that they have a way that they can get out of this thing if he has an issue. But if they do, man, that introduces something else to this as well, because we've seen this in the past where physicals are passed and physicals are flunked, possibly influenced by issues other than the sound medical advice of the person conducting the physical. But hey, remember, he was standing in front of the mound last time we saw him throwing out the first pitch for the Braves, standing in front of the mound. Why? We didn't want to get up on the mound and screw up his Achilles. Like, yeah, we don't know where that thing stands.
No, I know. That was the initial thought, right? That was the first tweet I put out about it on Thursday night. My first thought was, oh, man, you know, they got to look at him. They've been working out a little bit, and they realize, like, he might not be ready for the start of the season, so they need somebody else. That was my initial thought, but they're adamant no with that right now. I mean, again, we don't know where the truth really is, but I don't know anything along those lines at this moment.
But you make a great point. If he's got to take days off during camp, and it gives Penix an opportunity to get out there,
yeah,
and launch some bombs,
right,
with or without the sound effects, that is just, they didn't think this through. They thought it was too simple. They thought it was too clean. They thought it was too easy, and they're learning the hard way. It's far more complicated. And Pete makes a good point.
He does.
They should have learned all this.
Pete did do when, the job when they, there, yeah.
Even though it turned out Matt Ryan was done based upon what we saw the year he went to Indianapolis in 2022, the relationship with Ryan was fine. They had worked out, and I remember this vividly, they had worked out a restructure of his contract because he had a sky-high cap number. The restructuring was leaked. It was reported, but they didn't file it because they decided they wanted to get in on the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. They didn't come close because the Browns used the five-year fully guaranteed contract, but it poisoned the relationship with Matt Ryan. Just merely exploring Deshaun Watson was enough to prompt a divorce with Matt Ryan. Now, maybe they're next level geniuses and they knew when it was time to move on and everything worked out fine. And, well, has it really worked out fine with Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke? No. So I think they got lucky that Ryan was expiring that same year as it relates to not his life, but his football career. But they already screwed up a relationship with a starting quarterback once. And they mentioned Ryan when they were talking about longevity and succession. They already screwed it up once, and now they screwed it up again before it even begins. Before we even know who they will be playing week one, they have screwed up the relationship with Kirk Cousins. They put a cloud over that, and they bring in the new guy who should be excited about his arrival in the NFL, and now he's the guy who what role does he play in this story? Is he the villain? Is he the good guy? Is he the hero? Is he the GOAT? What is he? And that shouldn't be how anybody's career starts, especially when you're a top quarterback and a top 10 pick.
No, agreed. It's odd, like you said. You know, all he can do is go in there and go, Michael Penix Jr. is going to go in and go, wait, I've dealt with adversity before. I don't care. I believe in myself. And he's going to thrive a little bit. You know, it's a little bit like, again, that alpha mentality of, like, you know, when you, he's limping a little bit. Let me show you how quick my feet are. Oh, he's just throwing this. Let me smash this one in there and show him who's the boss throwing this football. I mean, he's going to relish, right? They're giving him $100 million over 2 years, and I'm going to beat his ass every day in practice here. And yes, so he might be the villain. That's probably part of his attitude to a degree, but it's going to be villain where the team's going to love him. And that's going to be the problem, because they're going to love him and they're going to love his talent. And he throws a spiral every throw, and he's one of the guys, right? And it's going to be hard to not have him take over as one of the leaders of the football team. I think it's going to be very natural for him to do that there in Atlanta.
Well, Cousins already had that dad joke on X about somebody saying to him at the cafeteria, he gives off dad energy. Who are the players going to gravitate to?
Exactly.
Dad? Or, you know, one of the other kids? This makes it harder. This makes it harder for Cousins to lead. It makes it harder for Cousins to thrive. I feel bad for the guy. Hard to feel bad for somebody who won $100 million in football Powerball, but they sold him a bill of goods. They either affirmatively lied to him or they concealed the truth. And if he would have known, back to what we said earlier, if he would have known back in March, he would have stayed in Minnesota.
Definitely.
There's no way.
No way.
There's no way he takes that job if he knows. Crystal ball, look into the future. April 29, I wake up on a Monday. I go in for phase two of the offseason program. And we got hotshot young top 10 quarterback instead of getting somebody who's going to help me win. And I wonder, Chris, which way he's going to go. Is this red hot poker for Cousins, or does he say, here's my bank account information, just make sure the checks show up. I won't see you on Tuesdays. I was thinking about working on Tuesdays. Nah, you can work with Penix on Tuesdays. Work with your new toy on Tuesdays. I'm going to Brentano's on Tuesdays. I really wonder, like,
is he gonna say,
you know what? If you're not all in, I'm not all in. If you're not going to use the 8th overall pick on a guy that's going to help this team get better now, I'm not going to turn my life upside down. I'm not going to give my life over to trying to win a Super Bowl when you had a top 10 pick where you could get an elite blue chip red star player to come in here and help us win now, and you don't do it. I change my life for you. I come to Atlanta for you. I rescue you from quarterback purgatory. And you don't use the 8th overall pick on a guy that's going to help me win and help you win and help us win. I'll see you Wednesday. I'll see you Monday for film review. I'll see you Wednesday for practice.
I know.
And don't worry about my tablet. You don't need to download the game plan. I'll look at it when I show up for work on Wednesday.
It'd be interesting. Or it goes the other way, where they're like, hey, you know, Penix has been here on Tuesdays, and he's here all day, and then maybe he gets in there. I don't know.
I mean, you know, I'm with you. What's the human reaction to this?
Yeah, like, geez,
what's
okay.
What's the human reaction to this?
Right.
If this is what you think of me, here's what I think of you.
Yeah, right.
If this is what you're going to do to me, here's what I'm going to do to you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be the guy who shows up early and stays late. I'm not going to be the guy who gives up my day off. I'm not going to be the guy who neglects my family for all of football season to try to chase this dream that you're not helping me. You're tying a hand behind my back.
Yeah.
You're not helping me. You're hindering me.
No.
Not only are you not getting a guy that will help us win, you are making my life harder by having this 8th overall pick rookie that the fans are holding up the signs. And I got guys in the locker room who I get a weird vibe from them now because they, you know, look at that bomb he threw out on the practice field. You're introducing a bunch of factors that are a detriment to what I know we're going to get emails. Oh, it's the first Monday after the draft and you assholes spent 45 minutes talking about this. This is the biggest story by far coming out of the draft. Everything was feeling great with the Falcons, up and coming, rise up, et cetera, and they, to borrow one of your lines, although I haven't heard you say this specifically, they have self-sabotaged themselves.
Yeah, yeah, they have to a degree. Now, you know, I mean, again, they're paying them $50 million this year. All we've seen from him is be professional and work and do all that. We've all been bothered by him not working on Tuesday, right? As the guy who's been the highest paid guy in an organization, right, for the last few years, and he doesn't work on Tuesday, yeah, that bothers people. There's no doubt. It would bother a lot of coaches in football if that was the case. You know, I don't know if that would have changed this year or what this is going to do to that dynamic. I don't know. You're right about that. But, I mean, I know one of the first things Kirk Cousins said and what he said over and over was the big thing in Atlanta and why he was there was, yes, it's backed by, you know, his wife's hometown and he's got family there and all of that and everything there. Great. But I want to win a Super Bowl. I want to win a Super Bowl. And now with this current situation, you're kind of like, You got 1 year. You got 1 year to do it. And if you don't win it, I don't know if you're going to get a second. You know, you got two at the most. That's all you got, two. And that just has got to be a big-time buzzkill over Cousins and the Cousins family.
And, you know, he's got a no-trade clause, but a trade after this year, a trade after next year becomes a possibility. He would waive the no-trade clause to get out of that situation and go somewhere else. And we see all the quarterback movement now every year because – just like teams that have a bad season, they look for new coaches. Teams that have a bad season look for new quarterbacks. I don't know. I don't know what the cap charge would be after 1 year. It would be fairly significant. They gave him a $50 million signing bonus that's spread out over 5 years. It'd be $36 million in dead money, I think, to trade him next year. But, you know, we've been talking about bigger cap hits than that. I mean, as the cap goes up and up, these big cap hits don't mean as much relative to what they used to mean. $36 million when you still have Michael Penix with 2 years left on his slotted rookie deal before you can even give him a second contract, that wouldn't be that bad. One last point. I promised this earlier. I want to pay this off. I've gotten a bunch of emails from viewers. I haven't written about it yet, and I don't think I mentioned this on Friday, but one of the theories out there is the Falcons did what they did now because they're going to get whacked next year for tampering with Cousins,
right?
So they aren't going to have a first-round pick. If they decide next year is time to activate the succession plan, I think that they didn't think that far ahead. Just based upon the absence of any strategic thought from what they did, I really don't think it's next level. Well, you know what? We're going to lose our first-round pick next year because we really did blatantly tamper with Cousins. They're going to take our first-round pick next year, so we better draft our quarterback this year. I don't think that they were thinking of that.
I don't think it might end up coincidentally
working that way, right? But I don't think they were thinking of
that. I don't seem to get that sense. I feel like we would have heard that a little bit throughout the league, somebody there. It sounds like that's still at the early stages of even being known what's going to actually happen with the whole tampering thing there. So, yeah, I don't buy that.
All right, well, it will continue to be a thing. We don't pick the stories. The stories pick us. And this is one that no one saw coming. No one expected. No one planned for it. And it really does introduce a bunch of different issues and questions that we'll be delving into as we hear more about how Michael Penix is doing, how Kirk Cousins is feeling, how their season gets started, how Cousins looks in the preseason, how Penix looks, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to be the gift that keeps on giving, or the nightmare that never ends if you're a Falcons fan. All right, let's take a break. Some more draft takeaways, including the Patriots drafting not one, but two quarterbacks in 2024. We'll do that next here on this Monday PFT Live.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.